you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But you refused. The second reading is from Psalm 37, verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. And the third reading is from Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth.
Thanks be to God. Well, we may not have any children here this morning, but I'm sure there's a few kids at heart, right? Because it's story time. This book that I'm about to read was given to me by Eleanor Melnick. Eleanor volunteers at the Salvage Center, and she is hugely responsible for pastoral care in the United Church in the Valley. She's one of the cornerstones of that. She handed me this book one Sunday and said, "Here, I found this at the Salvage Center. Write a sermon about it." And I listened to her because you listened to Eleanor Melnick. She was a teacher, after all. The book is called Shh, God is in the Silence. I'm just going to move back here so Curtis, because I don't want to miss you, Curtis. What, can you scoot over a little bit? Scoot over a little bit. Just, I don't want to miss anybody because, you know, this is riveting. God is in the silence. Can you hear him? He is speaking to your heart. Are you listening? I love you, he says. Shh. God is in the silence. Can you hear him? Listen closely to your heart. I love you, he says. You are precious. Shh. God is in the silence. Can you hear him? He lives in your heart. I love you, he says. You are precious. There is no one else like you. Shh. God is in the silence. Can you hear him? Listen closely to your heart. I love you, he says. There is no one else like you. I created you. Can you hear him? Listen closely to your heart. I love you, he says. You are precious. There is no one else like you. I created you. You are mine. Shh. God is in the silence. Can you hear him? Listen closely to your heart. I love you, he says. You are precious. There is no one else like you. I created you, and you are mine. I am with you always. Shh. God is in the silence. Listen closely to your heart. This is where he lives. Can you hear him? I love you, he says. You are precious. There is no one else like you. I created you, and you are mine. I am with you, always. You are safe. So rest, little one. And know that God is always in your heart. Shh. God is in the silence. Before I begin, I want to acknowledge that my message this morning is informed by writings of Jim Baker with Sacred Structures and Judy Esway with St. Mary's Press. The importance of silence and stillness in the life of Jesus and his disciples is undeniable. Scripture reveals Jesus made a habit of withdrawing, sometimes abruptly, from the crowds, from his disciples, and his ministry of doing his Father's will, to find a quiet place where he could be still. It's challenging, I think, to likewise find times of silence and stillness in order that we may be more like Jesus and his disciples. I remember the first time I tried meditation. Any of you read Eat, Pray, Love? Anybody? Okay, I laughed so hard at the meditation piece I cried. Because like her, I just couldn't stop the thoughts from coming into my head. And I thought that's what you had to do when you meditated. My foot would get itchy, or I'd start picking at a nail that chipped. And I would get so frustrated, I just gave up. As time went by, with learning from courses and readings and conversations with others, I learned to name the thoughts as I thought them. I would think, that thought's about the past. I would say, well, that thought's about planning. That thought's about creativity. I named them all so I could tame them. And it became easier over time to cultivate that stillness and that silence. You see, in that silence, I learned I was silently giving consent to God. And in that silence, I learned sitting in silent trust is powerful. So just to make sure we're all on the same page, let's get a definition of silence and stillness. For the purpose of spiritual disciples, silence is defined as to abstain from speaking, to listen, to be quiet. Stillness is defined as to stop, ceased, desist, to not move, to rest, to stay fixated, to wait, to be at peace. We are a society that is conditioned to be comfortable with noise and crowds. Some people are uneasy with silence. It's rare in our culture. Our lives seem to be filled with background noise. So much so that I wonder if we might have an addiction to that. That background noise fills our lives so much that without it, we tend to believe nothing is happening. What does that say about our souls if we need noise to think something is happening around us? We heard a few scriptures today, but it's Isaiah's that really stands out for me. In quietness and trust is your strength. I think the reason we seek silence, perhaps, is the same reason Jesus did. To be able to hear what the Creator is saying to us. Generally speaking, I don't believe any spiritual discipline is as crucial as the practice of silence. In silence, we close off everything from all noise. Silence allows us to concentrate and release the need for control. I remember as a rower, one of my favorite times on the water was when I was alone, and it was just me and the oars and the water. And all I could hear, and I would close my eyes, and I knew exactly what was going on. I knew when the oar turned in the oar lock. I knew when the oar went into the water, and I knew when it came out. And that's all I needed to hear. I didn't hear anything else, despite the fact that my coach was yelling at me. While silence is possible without solitude, few of us can be silent in the presence of others. But you guys are doing a really good job right now. Sometimes pairing silence with solitude sets a better environment, an easier climate. Conceivably, a fundamental principle of religion would be that no large measure of spiritual growth was attained by one who did not take sufficient time to be alone with God. My own experience of meditation, of solitude and stillness, has provided some beneficial things to me, not the least of which is frogs in my throat. My heart rate slows down. My inner turmoil is quieted. My muscles relax. My body loosens. And my breath deepens. I experience a deep peace that permeates my body, mind, and soul. And I think that stillness promotes healing. From this, I reason, when we are still before God, we experience healing and wholeness that only God can provide. Occasionally, in that stillness, we slow down enough to notice where God is at work in our lives. But silence and stillness are scary. We want them, we don't want them. We sometimes crave them, but we're afraid of them. They make us nervous. I remember growing up at the dinner time table, there was always an awful, terrifying silence. I was uncomfortable with that, so I would try to fill the air with inane chatter because the silence was utterly horrifying. You see, in my family, it meant that something was wrong. It took me a great many years to break that. Don't get me wrong, I enjoy dinner time banter. Now I find I'm easier with lulls in conversation. I'm comfortable with silence. I've learned since then that silence is where we learn about ourselves. Silence is where we find God. My daily meditation practice, spending 10 minutes sitting quietly, sinking into silence, has changed my life. That focused concentration spills over into all areas of my life, and it's greatly aided my movement to a place of peace. It's given me creativity, and as I've mentioned, it's given me healing. It's as though I allow God to uncork my mind. Thanks, Betty Lou. Water break. Thank you. Oh, that's good. It's as though I allow God to uncork my mind, and I watch a parade of images and thoughts just march on by. If we're patient, if we can endure it all and let it come and go, one day we end up ignoring the whole parade altogether. I'm not there yet. I'm close. Take comfort in the knowledge that in your experience of stillness and silence, you are growing. Even when your experience leaves you wondering if you're doing it right, you are. Know that God is smiling lovingly upon you, because I believe God knows what we need and what is best for our spiritual development. And our part is so simple. We just need to show up and breathe. As for silence, solitude, and stillness, think of them as complementary. Each makes the other complete. To use an analogy, think of them as three strands of a rope. Braided together, they are stronger than the sum of their parts. With silence, we quiet the noise so that we can clearly hear God. Shh. God is in the silence. With stillness, we experience union and oneness with God. Be still and know that I am God. We learn to rely more on God, where we might feel compelled to speak or act. With silence, we listen to our hearts. We hear God whisper to us how precious we are. Thanks be to God. Enjoy the silence.